So much happening in the economy, both locally, nationally, and globally. A man I've got into the studio to help walk us through it, to help decipher the noise. So much happening. His name is Pete Faulkner. He's an economist with Conus Business Consultancy Services. He's a local, he's a far northerner. Pete Faulkner, welcome to the King Review.
Thanks very much, Gavin. Good to be here.
Now, the first topic I wanted to broach with you is the employment scene. Jobs. We've heard things are pretty good. Let's start locally, and if you could just put it into a state and national context, how are we travelling?
Look, we're travelling very well, and to be fair, Cairns has been travelling well for some time. Our trend unemployment rate in Cairns at the moment is 4%. It's been there for 3-4 months. That's the same as it is at the state level. It's also 4%, and indeed it's the same as it is at the national level. Also 4%. So 4%. Finally we've got everybody 4% right the way across the board.
And in terms of the number of people employed, because you know, percentages are one thing, in terms of actual bodies in jobs in the far north, where were we at with that?
141,000. And that's this is as of March, so that's the most recent data that we've got. And that's the first time ever that it's been over 140,000. So even when we go back to those periods before, obviously, you know, the population's grown a lot since those days. But we've got 141,000 people employed. That's a new record. The participation rate, which is the measure of how many people of working age are actually in the labour force, either employed or registered as unemployed, that's at 71% at the moment, which is incredibly high. And again, just to put that in some kind of context, nationally it's about 66.5%. Okay. So 71 is very high. It's not quite a record for Cairns, but it's getting close to a record.
Extraordinary, right. So that's a record, 141,000 people.
Yep.
All right, fantastic news. Let's talk now about tourism. Obviously, it's been front and centre now for over 2 years, given what's happened in the pandemic. I hear a lot, and we've heard it almost ad infinitum over recent months, a recent year or so, is that, you know, Cairns has been the worst hit. But I was just interested to know, I mean, how does Cairns stack up? How do we stack up either compared nationally or, you know, any other areas?
So look, it's going to surprise you, I think, the answer. If we go back and look at it, the reason that people think that Cairns and the tropical north would have been the worst affected is because we're one of the areas that has the highest percentage of international travellers. So pre-pandemic, total revenues or total expenditure from the tourism sector was about $4 billion, give or take. And of that, it was split kind of $3 billion was domestic and $1 billion was international.
Okay.
So give or take 25%. It has been a little higher, around 33%, but it's that kind of number. Now, that's somewhat higher than plenty of other regions where domestic is much more relevant. And therefore, when the pandemic came along and the international tourism essentially stopped and has, as we all know, has been stopped now for over 2 years, the anticipation was that Cairns would suffer more than other places because international tourism is such an important part. What's actually happened is that domestic tourism has gone gangbusters throughout the pandemic, particularly more recently, certainly through 2020, the latter half of 2020, and then through 2021. There were some ups and downs as borders closed and you know, lockdowns took effect. But the reality is that here we sit now, and the most recent data we have is to the end of 2021, so we don't yet have this first quarter of this year yet. But what it shows us is that domestic tourism across Australia is down about 25% from where it was pre-pandemic.
Okay.
25%. In Queensland, it's down about 15%. This is just domestic. In tropical North Queensland, it's up 2%.
There you go.
Up 2. Now, the because such a large portion of our market was international, clearly we're still down a long way. We're down 23% from where we were pre-pandemic. So the tourism sector is no question. I mean, this has been painful and horrible. But across Australia, it's down 41%. Across Queensland as a whole, it's down 30%. So down 23% is horrible.
Yes.
You know, for the tourism industry, that's terrible. But it's a lot better than down 40%. That's the reality.
In the context of that national story.
Right.
There you go. Okay.
And I think what's interesting as well is that that presents a real opportunity for the future because our domestic tourism has held up so well. As we move into the kind of post-COVID era when international tourism is going to start reoccurring in the far north. If we can hang on to the kind of domestic numbers that we've generated through COVID, that's going to put our tourism sector in really good stead as we move through into the post-COVID era.
I'm speaking here with Pete Faulkner. He's an economist at Conus Business Consultancy Services. Now, Pete, of course, one of the biggest news, certainly one of the biggest bombshells of the election campaign this week, were those inflation figures. The headline rate that everyone's sort of talking about, we know there are complexities around it, but the big headline rate, of course, was 5.1%. From what I read, it was about the biggest surge in 20-odd years.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to get your take from, a pure data point of view. How was that 5.1% arrived at? Is it the best figure to look at? And are there any sort of regional, regional numbers that can place it in context for our listeners here?
So it's a bit sort of rear mirror. We're looking backwards for the March quarter, these numbers. When it comes to policymakers, and in particular here we're talking about the Reserve Bank, obviously looking at inflation in terms of setting interest rate policy, what they will look at is what they call their core inflation numbers. And the core inflation numbers are calculated essentially by stripping out some of the more violent moves either up or down. So the top and bottom sort of 15%.
The volatile, okay.
The things that would have gone up a lot and perhaps won't be staying up, so core inflation, which is the one that the Reserve Bank will really be looking at. And that was 3.5%. Now, that's still very high.
That's high, okay.
Well, I say very high. It's certainly above their target band. So the RBA targets inflation between 2 and 3% over the medium term. So it's not that they try and keep it in there all the time.
Yes.
And certainly they've made it very clear that because we've undershot the target for so long, for many years now, we've been well underneath 2%. They have said quite clearly that they want to see inflation sustainably above the range before they feel the need to move.
Okay.
Now, there's a danger there, obviously, that they leave it too late.
And
then they're chasing their tail and they've got to catch up. So certainly the markets are now anticipating that we are likely to see a move up in interest rates quite soon. It may be as early as the May meeting, which is next week.
Tuesday. Think they meet. Wow.
Yeah, it could well be Tuesday, and I think certainly the markets are pricing in a rise already.
Wow.
Possibly as much as, well, certainly 15 basis points, possibly as much as 40 basis points, which would take it up to 0.5. In terms of looking a bit more broadly, there is a challenge with the CPI because the CPI is calculated on a basket of goods, essentially. So, it's as if the Reserve Bank, the ABS go out and buy a basket of goods and services each quarter, but they only do it within the capital cities and they then average the number across the nation.
Right.
Now they do provide numbers for each of the capital cities. And if you look at Brisbane inflation is running at 6%,
right.
So significantly higher than
the national.
We do a lot of work and have done over the past few years trying to incorporate some of the differences, regional differences, in terms of spending patterns that would make the basket of goods essentially that you use to calculate the CPI different within the regions. And having done that, we create what we classify as the regional Queensland CPI number. And in fact, we do that for all of the states and can then create an all Australia rather than just the capital cities. So our all Australia CPI is running at 5.2% rather than 5.1.
So slightly above.
And the reason why it's slightly above is that regional inflation pretty much all the way across Australia is running higher on our estimations than it is in the capital cities. And in regional Queensland, we've currently got it at about 6.5%.
There you go.
Now, part of the reason for that is, as I say, it's because of different spending patterns. So things like transport, for instance, which is one of the highest increases that we've seen within the CPI, has more of an impact in the regions because people are traveling, essentially, more. They're buying more petrol because they're driving longer distances.
We don't have public transport the way the capital's, that type of thing.
Right, okay? Exactly. Yeah. So when you have a component like that that's gone up a lot, if that component is more of the kind of basket of spending that happens in regional areas, that's going
to
push up regional CPI.
It'll contribute to a higher. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Okay. So we're worse off.
You could argue that, certainly.
We live in paradise, so we can't.
Of course, yeah. I mean, there's a price to pay. The flip side, of course, is that we don't have regional data on wages growth either. That's the other side of this coin. And clearly the concern now, and it has been for some time, is that wages growth has been running behind what was even very anemic inflation. Now that we've got inflation picking up, the big concern is what's going to happen to wages. Are we going to see wages starting to move up again? You know, clearly throughout the election campaign, and we're already seeing it, you know, both sides are going to be pointing the finger at each other, and one side's going to blame the other one's going to say it's nothing to do with us, it's all international pressures, you know.
Frydenberg's already said that, yes.
Right, you know, and that's inevitable, they're bound to. And there's, to be honest, there's a certain amount of truth in both points of view. You know, there are certain things that this government, any government, whether it's an, you know, coalition government or an ALP government, you know, they don't control the price of oil, for instance. They don't control international trade routes. They don't control freight costs coming out of China, those kind of things. So there's an element of a truth to the it's not our fault. There's a very big question about whether any government can really have that much impact at an immediate level on prices. That's the job of the RBA, is to use the inflation lever to try and ease back on the what potentially at least could be an overheating economy if we do see that core inflation sustained above 3%.
Wow. There's a lot happening, Pete Faulkner.
There is.
There's a lot for you to talk about and to analyse.
And there's an election.
And there's
just
an election.
Just on top of it all.
Very, very interesting. Well, we're fantastic analysis and insights. I'm sure listeners, I certainly appreciate it. So it's absolutely fantastic to have you on. Pete Faulkner from Conus Business Consultancy Services. Thanks for your time on The King Review today.
Thanks very much, Gavin. Pleasure to be here.